At this time, I'm going to ask you please to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We have begun looking at a section that really deals with the conflict between the children of God and the children of the devil. And as we have mentioned, these conflicts are actually an assurance to the children of God of our relationship to Jesus Christ. If there was no conflict, then we should be concerned. But because there is a conflict, that is an evidence that we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, John begins this particular section by, first of all, revealing the marks of the children of God. The first mark that we looked at as a believer in Christ was that a true believer in Christ practices righteousness. So an evidence that you're a child of God, a mark of being a child of God, is the practice of righteousness. And we see that in the last verse of chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. He says, "If ye know that he, Jesus, is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." The second mark that we began last time, it's kind of a lengthy characteristic, but it is the reality of the new life in Christ. And that is the reality that we are aware of. When a person gets saved, you know this, there is an awareness of this reality. There is a very present awareness of this reality as we consider certain things. John brings to our attention, first of all, to the amazing gift of God's love. We become aware of the reality of our relationship when we consider this amazing love of God. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3, where John begins with, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." How amazing is that? Now, folks, how we respond to that truth is an indicator of something. If your heart wells up with joy and thanksgiving and praise to God as you behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, then that's an indication of a reality, or the reality of a relationship to God. Now, a lack of that kind of response is, at very best, a selfish, unappreciative believer. Folks, if you are truly saved and you're not welling up with joy and thanksgiving when you consider the love of God, well, that's unappreciative. But you know what? The worst case is it could also be an indication of no relationship to God at all. So our inner positive response to God's love is an indicator that we are the children of God. But another outward indicator is the response of the world to us. At the end of verse 1 of 1 John chapter 3, John says, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." God's children understand why the world doesn't understand them. We understand that. Why is that? Because the world doesn't know Christ. Because it knew him not. You know, historically, the world system has never received the accepted the truth about Jesus Christ as being Lord. They believe he existed and even assent to maybe that he was a good man. And as I said this morning, he's not a good man if he's not God. He can't be a good man and be lying about being God. But the world can't recognize who he truly is. And because they don't recognize him, they don't recognize us either. They don't recognize the followers of Jesus Christ. So the antagonism and the persecution by the world of Christians is an indicator of the reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, so that pretty much brings us up to where we left off last time. The reality of the new life is a mark of a child of God. It's experienced by his love, also by the world's failure to accept believers. And another reality in verse 2 is the effects or implications of that love. Look at verse 2 of 1 John 3. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, there is a lot packed into this particular verse, and I hope to be able to unpack it in a way that will be an encouragement to you. But as believers in Christ, we know of the reality that God's love transforms us, right? You understand that. And John begins verse 2 by reiterating our present reality. He says, "Beloved," and what's the next word? "Now." Look at verse 2. "Now are we the sons of God." Now are we the sons of God. So that is the present reality for all believers. And we believe this by faith, that we have passed from death unto life. The power of sin no longer has us in its grips. We have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. We have been saved from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and we possess eternal life right now. That's our reality, right now. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. But notice that John is making a contrast here. He's contrasting our present state as believers with a future state that we'll experience. And he admits here that we don't have a lot of information about that, about what we're going to be doing in eternity. Look at what he says in verse 2. He says, "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." And what he's telling us here is that the exact state and condition of believers in heaven was not revealed to John when he wrote this. But the construction of the verse here implies that the not yet is going to be far greater than the now. The now get this, the now, we're talking about our present, the now is a wonderfully great reality. But the not yet, the stuff that we don't know yet, is going to be extremely better. Now, although the not yet has not yet been revealed to us, John does have a certainty about two things regarding it. Look again at verse 2. He says, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." John is saying we know something. We know that right now we are the children of God. We know that. And although that truth will not change in the future, we're really not sure of all the details of our future state. But this we do know. First of all, that Christ will return. He promises to do that. We've seen that before in John chapter 14. We looked at where Jesus tells his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." And he tells them about in his Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he would have told them. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," he says, "I will come again to bring you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He promised that he's going to do that. That is our blessed hope. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and he is going to return himself. He's not going to send angels. He is coming himself to receive us, to take us to his Father's house. He's going to return. But notice this other assurance that John gives us in this verse. When Jesus comes, there is going to be a metamorphosis that occurs. It says that when he comes, when he appears, we shall what? We shall be like him. Now, folks, this is so great because this is going to be the culmination of God's promise for us as revealed by Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, that his children would be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. This is so cool. When Christ returns, our yearning for Christ's likeness will be fully realized, folks, and our conformity to His image will also include our bodies. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 that the Lord will change our vital bodies. Are you glad of that? I am so glad of that. He is going to change our vital bodies that they might be fashioned like unto what? Like unto His glorious body. How great is that going to be? Now, some, of course, have misinterpreted this to mean that we are going to become gods like Christ. That is so untrue. Believers will never, ever be equal to Christ. He is the incarnate Son of God, God the Son. He died and rose again in a glorious body. He will always be a distinct individual as the firstborn among many brethren. Believers, on the other hand, will ever be to the praise of His glory. We'll be similar to Him in holiness and with resurrection bodies, but we will be worshiping Him as the eternal King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, the last phrase of verse 2 is an explanation of the previous phrase, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. Now, have you ever wondered what he's talking about here? This is very interesting to me, and I hope that I can explain why. To me, this is really a blessing of our future hope. But I'm going to ask you don't even keep your finger here. Just jump back to 1 Corinthians 13, because there's another place I want to go to also. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul speaks of our present understanding and a future experience. Look at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul writes this, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Now, in that verse, the word glass is referring to a mirror. And I believe that Paul is referring, when Paul uses the term mirror, I believe that he's referring to the Word of God as the mirror. And so it is a mirror in two sentences, God's Word is a mirror in two senses. First, God's Word accurately reflects us as we are before God, right? You look into the Word of God, it doesn't make you look better. It shows us at what we truly are. But secondly, it is also a reflection of the glory of Christ, right? The Word of God is a reflection of the glory of Christ. Where do we see Christ reflected? In His Word. His Word reveals to us Himself. Now, Paul says, in our situation, we can see Him in His Word. But comparatively, this verse says, it's a little dark, right? It's like looking into a slightly steamed up mirror. We can see the image, but we can't see it perfectly clear. There's much that we can determine from what we see, but it's still a little bit obscure. However, he says there is going to be a time when the fogginess is all cleared up, when we shall see Him face to face. Paul gives us further explanation of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to ask you to jump over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul says this, "But we all," he's talking about Christians, "we all with open face, beholding as in a glass," what's a glass? A mirror. "Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." So here's that picture again. We're looking into this mirror, and what are we seeing? We're seeing a reflection of the glory of the Lord. It's a little dark. It's not perfectly clear, but it still has an effect on us. What kind of effect does it have on us? We'll look at the rest of verse 18, right? When we do that, when we are looking into this glass, when we're beholding the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is what he's saying. As we observe and as we carefully study the Lord in the mirror of the Word of God, it begins a transformation process in each of us. We also call that sanctification, don't we? Where we are conformed into the image of His Son. That phrase in verse 18, from glory to glory, means from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And the meaning there is that the more we behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word, the more we become more like Him. Folks, is that not a good reason for us to be students of the Word of God? No other book can do that to you. No other reference material can do that to you, no matter how good a book may be or how good a magazine may be. It's only the living Word of God that has that effect upon the people of God, where you can read it and it changes you. As you read it and as you take it in and you accept it and you embrace it, it changes you from one degree of Christ's glory to another degree of Christ's glory. And this is a cooperative work that we see, as the end of verse 18 says, this is a cooperative work with whom? By the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God does this. So you've got to be saved for this to have an effect on you. Now that's our present condition. That's our condition right now as believers. We are viewing Christ as clearly as we can in His Word. And we are being conformed to Christ as much as we possibly can in these physical bodies. That's what's happening right now. But folks, what Paul is also telling us, what John is telling us, is that there is coming a day when we shall see Him face to face. It could be at any time. Now, I would love to be able to worship with you again face to face. That's my hope in the coming weeks. But folks, if the Lord were to come tomorrow, I would be so happy. And so would you. You may be thinking, oh, there's so much that I need to do. I tell you, if the Lord were to come tomorrow, the bliss, the overwhelming joy that we will experience will be far greater than anything that we could experience on this earth. We shall see Him face to face. John uses this terminology. We shall see Him as He is. That's what he's talking about in 1 John chapter 3. And when that happens, you know what? We graduate. We graduate. It'll be a graduation ceremony like no other. We will graduate from the process of sanctification to the reality of glorification. We will be glorified. To those of you who believe, you are justified when you are believed. We go through the process of sanctification until one day we are our sanctification is complete, our salvation is complete in our glorification. We will see Him clearly, not darkly as in a mirror. There will be no flesh, no world, no sin nature to distract us or to confuse us. That's another great thing. Have you ever contemplated what it would be like not to live in a sin nature? Not to live with your sin nature? None of us has ever experienced that. We have always had, before we were saved, we were always controlled by our sin nature. But even after we were saved, we always experienced the battle, the influence of our flesh in our daily lives. There's going to be a day where all that will be gone. We'll not experience a day with that kind of confusion and distraction. And our desire for Christ's likeness will be fully realized on that day. And we'll be like Him. Because we shall see Him as He is perfectly. And He is true as He is truly in all of His glory. And then folks, our transformation will be complete. I'm going to ask you to look back at 1 John. Again, 1 John chapter 3, look again at verse 2. Well, let's start at verse 1 again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Is that amazing or what? Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. When you try to love the world or show any kind of affection to the world, it ought to become very clearly, very quickly, that the world doesn't love you, because the world doesn't know our Savior. But then verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know exactly how everything is going to be in heaven, but we do know some things. We do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. How did that happen? Well, because we are going to see him as he is. We are going to see him in his perfection. But how is it that we're going to be like him? Well, we're starting right now. As we look into the Word of God, we are being transformed into his image from glory to glory. And that will culminate in the day when we are standing before him, when we see him as he is, and we are going to be like him. How glorious is that? Listen, will that be glory for you? Oh, that will be glory for me. And folks, if that thought just causes joy to well up in your heart, well, you can take confidence. That's an evidence that you have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do praise thee to be able to look at such wonderful truths. Lord, thy word is true, and we know that the Apostle John has written these things to encourage us, to give us assurances that we, in fact, are the children of God. And Lord, we have such blessed things now as believers. But Lord, we have a blessed hope that one day we will be in thy presence and we will be like thee, and the process has already begun here on this earth as we allow ourselves to see the glory of Christ in his word. Oh, Lord, I pray that thou wouldst make us students of thy word, that we would allow this very spiritual process to take hold of us and to change us into the image of Christ. Lord, the world needs Jesus. The world needs to see Jesus. And Lord, I pray that thou wouldst use us, the earthly representation of Jesus Christ. Help us to let our light so shine before men, that they might see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Lord, we need thee, we love thee, and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.